In a logo, white stars sweep in from the left of the screen and encircle a snow-covered mountain, forming an arch above its peak as words appear. Paramount, a Viacom company. Opening titles appear amid pop art-style, colorful illustrations of beautiful and unique women.
Comb your hair, fix your makeup.
Paramount Pictures presents a perfectly made-up brunette stares in a compact against a starry sky. A Scott Rudin production. A Hugh Wilson film.
On your finger.
Goldie Hawn, Bette Midler, Diane Keaton. An enormous diamond ring slowly spins, surrounded by other jewels. Title appears, The First Wife's Club. A 60s-style redhead with flowers in her hair looks ahead confidently. Maggie Smith. Dan Hedaya. A woman with blue hair and purple nails lowers her sunglasses. Victor Garber. Bronson Pinchot.
At the office.
Marcia Gay Harden.
Men will always be men.
Eileen Heckert, Philip Bosco.
Send them off with your hair.
Elizabeth Berkley, Jennifer Dundas. A woman in a hair towel applies beauty cream to her eyes. Casting by Eileen Starger. Music by Mark Shaman. A silhouette of a woman, hair in elaborate updo embellished with flowers, releases a bouquet of blooms that float from her hair. Co-producer Thomas Imperato. Costume designer Theoni V. Aldridge. Edited by John Bloom. A woman with purple hair soaks in the tub while bubbles float upwards into the atmosphere. Production designer, Peter Larkin. Another pop art figure applies lipstick. Director of photography, Donald Thorin. A woman in pearls reads from a book. Executive producers, Ezra Swerdlow and Adam Schroeder. Based on the novel by Olivia Goldsmith. Screenplay by Robert Harling. Produced by Scott Rudin. Directed by Hugh Wilson. On a picturesque college campus, our view tilts down from a clock bell tower. Graduates in caps and gowns talk animatedly, walking across their campus quad.
Middlebury College, 1969. The year of Walking on the Moon, Yellow Submarine, and Woodstock. Also the year that Pope Paul VI eliminated 200 saints, all men. And I, along with my three best friends, graduated from college.
Where's Cynthia? We have to get going, don't we? I mean, shouldn't we?
In a dorm room.
Calm and collected, Annie. She said she had a surprise.
How is this? Is this heaven?
Elise, you are so gorgeous, really. Oh, my, it's lovely.
It's solid.
Oh, girl.
Brenda feels Elise is up to.
Cynthia.
Here, open. Put him on.
Oh,
Cynthia arrives with gift-wrapped boxes. The girls run to put on their gifted pearl necklaces.
No, you shouldn't have done this. It's too much.
I don't think so. I think it's just enough. You can all write me nice notes, but right now we need a toast.
Got it.
Pour. Oh, it's picture time.
Champagne from my boat. Oh,
Cynthia positions a camera on a timer.
Annie, Elise, and Brenda.
And Cynthia. I mean, our valedictorian.
All right, we are all bound together now and forever by friendship and love.
And jewelry.
And we are always, always going to be there for each other.
Got it. Oh, God.
Here we go. And for the rest of our lives.
Annie pours everyone champagne and the girls toast.
It's good.
The camera captures the four women looking exuberant. Years later, a middle-aged Cynthia with a sizable diamond ring on her wedding finger stares wistfully at the black and white photo. She holds her pearl necklace from years ago. Her mascara is smudged, and she's been crying. In her Park Avenue penthouse, she sips vodka from a crystal glass. Staggering to a mess of society pages, she grabs a wedding announcement that reads, "Takeover King takes Princess." The New York Post reads, "Wall Street Tycoon acquires bride." She angrily hurls the newspapers behind her. A uniformed maid enters.
Mrs. Cynthia.
Teresa. I want you to have these.
No.
No, you just think of it as a rose.
She hands the maid the pearls.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now you take the rest of the day off. Go on.
Thank you, dear.
Oh, Teresa, would you mind mailing these for you?
Sure.
The maid takes the envelopes. Cynthia glances back at the luxurious room dismissively and walks down the hallway dressed in her long white silk robe. In the grand hallway, she passes a glass accent table a mink coat was thrown on. She grabs the mink and puts it on. In the midday light, she steps onto a windy terrace, her robe under the open brown mink with drink and cigarette in hand and a troubled look on her face. Across the way, an exercising neighbor waves to her. Cynthia gives an insincere nod, takes a drag off her cigarette, and crosses the terrace in evening heels. Setting down her glass, she climbs on a bench at the edge of the balcony. Her stilettos offer little safety.
Of the four of us, Cynthia was certainly the most likely to succeed. When she decided to do something, she just went right ahead and did it.
Cynthia takes a final drag off the cigarette, tosses it to the street below, and smiles weakly. Elsewhere, an adult Annie enters her house. The classic upscale interior has preppy East Coast decor and furnishings. She lifts her Brussels Griffin dog.
Got any messages? What do you think?
The college photo sits in a frame.
Annie, dear, it's your mother. It's 6 a.m. Please call me urgently.
A girl stands in the corner of the kitchen as Annie enters.
Honey, I thought you were going to campus yesterday.
Well, my morning classes were canceled, so I decided to stay over. Where were you last night?
Oh, I was at a friend's.
You were with that man again, weren't you? Mother, I'm so disappointed.
I know, sweetie, I'm sorry, but he is your father.
Yes, but he's using you, and you shouldn't let him.
Oh, Chris, it's not that simple. The truth of the matter is that I love your father, and I'm sure that he loves me.
You're a doormat.
What's the matter with you? Why are you so crabby today, honey? Is it school? I know what it is. It's a boy.
I'm a lesbian, Mom.
What?
I'm a lesbian, but that's not the issue here.
Well, sweetie, when you say lesbian...
And don't tell Daddy. I want to tell him myself when the time is right, like Father's Day or Christmas morning.
Chris.
Oh, thank God you're all right. Where were you? Who saw you?
Who saw me what?
She was sleeping with Daddy.
Oh, Muffin, you've come to your senses. I'm so happy.
Mother, I am not sleeping with Aaron. He's just having some problems with his partners. He's feeling very conflicted, and he needed somebody to talk to.
Doormat. Lesbian.
Annie grabs a dog leash and exits. In a surgeon's office.
Do it, Morris. Do it to me now. I need it. You're the only one who does it the way I like it. You're the king.
Elise, if I give you any more collagen, your lips are going to look like they got stuck in a pool drain.
Morris, I haven't worked in 18 months. And I have a meeting with a director for a part that I would kill for. I have to look sexy.
Elise, you are sexy. Look, look at yourself. You're incredible. You're my masterpiece. There's not one line on your face.
Oh, really? Well, what do you call that? And these? What are these?
Well, wait, you're 45. You know, if I give you one more facelift, you're going to be able to blink your lips. I mean, don't you want to be able to play parts your own age?
My own age? No. You don't understand. There are only three ages for women in Hollywood. Babe, district attorney, and driving Miss Daisy. And right now, I want to be young. Science fiction young.
This is good. And while you're at it, you might think about cutting down on the booze.
Elise looks shocked and glances at the cigarette he took from her lips.
Look, Elise, I know you're upset about the divorce.
Upset?
I know you're upset about Bill's movie.
This is not about him. This is about my lips. Okay, now look at me. I want Tina Turner. I want Jagger. Fill him up.
No. Really? Oh, this is fabulous news. Thank you. Bye-bye. Jason.
In Brenda's modest apartment.
Honey, yoo-hoo. Burning sensation just confirmed. Jason!
What?
Burning sensation confirmed.
I got the band you wanted.
Cool. Affection.
Brenda motions for a kiss from her son.
Give me that.
Brenda grabs his Walkman and changes the tape.
What is this? Hebrew. Your bar mitzvah is in 3 weeks. It's the one thing your father is willing to pay for. Learn it.
Mom.
Don't but mom me. Please, learn it. Don't shame me in the synagogue. And hurry up, it's time for school.
This separation between you and Aaron is absurd.
On the street.
How are you going to work things out if you're not together?
Well, we're practically together, Mother. We're both seeing the same therapist. Come on.
What?
Come on. Roach, come on, go. Her name is Dr. Leslie Rosen, and I think she's just incredible, Mother. She's helping Aaron with his commitment issues, and we're
We're working on my my self-esteem. Roach, honey, please, you've got to go.
You are married. You have a daughter. You're very happy. You don't need self-esteem.
Mother, Dr. Rosen says that... Well, she says you're very controlling, Mom.
Me? Controlling? Oh, that is ridiculous.
Mother, I...
Roach!
The dog cowers.
Go!
At Annie's house.
Well, what if I found somebody else, Mother? I mean, it's possible, maybe.
Oh, honey, you're 46.
Well, yes, but...
A woman your age has a better chance of being slaughtered by a psychopath.
Cynthia Swan Griffin is dead. The former wife of Wall Street wizard Gil
Griffin. Didn't you go to school with her?
Mother,
suicide leap from her fashionable penthouse apartment. Mrs. Griffin had recently divorced her longtime husband, Gilbert Griffin. The Wall Street baron and philanthropist remarried only yesterday.
In the city, Elise approaches a newsstand wearing a leather skirt suit in full makeup and hair. Her lips are garishly swollen.
Morning, Mohammed.
Morning, Miss Elliot.
She surveys newspaper headlines and sees her friend Cynthia's face printed under East Side Suicide. A couple exits a limo and walks past to attend Cynthia's funeral service. A partition is set up to hold back paparazzi. Elise struts past the media amid cameras flashing and greets an older woman.
Elise.
Oh God, what a tragedy.
Cynthia.
And your lips.
They enter the service together.
Elise Elliot arrived with Gunilla Garson Goldberg,
Brenda,
the queen of New York society.
Look.
Nobody gets anywhere in this town without Gunilla's say-so.
Annie does a double take, seeing Elise's swollen lips.
Psst. Hey, Elise.
Elise doesn't recognize her old friend Brenda and faces forward, looking curious.
She looks wonderful. Has she had any work done?
Honey, she's a quilt.
Elise looks back at Brenda and her companion.
Then came Cynthia's former husband, Gilbert Griffin, a man made rich by his first wife's connections and now made happy by his second wife's youthful good looks.
Gil enters with his young blonde new bride.
The vampireless Dad and Louis.
They take their seats. Gunilla spots them and nudges Elise to look. Teresa, the maid, sobs into a tissue.
What a nerve. He should be hanging his head.
You don't know what Gil is feeling right now.
Gil's taut new wife suppresses her smile as Gil's hand discreetly grazes his wife's breast. After the service, Annie sees Elise and runs to her.
Oh, I knew you would be here. Oh,
Alice.
No, Annie.
Annie. Oh, it's so wonderful to see you.
Gil.
Oh, and you're wearing our pearls.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Oh. Hi, Brenda. Brenda Morelli.
Annie!
Brenda,
Annie.
Brenda.
Annie.
Nice to see you again.
You too.
Oh, you look wonderful.
You do too. You look just uncanny.
Thank you.
Your sweet, funny yearning, Brenda. What?
They see Gil and his young wife filing out.
Bitch.
Oh, I hate that guy.
I know this is going to really sound horrible after that, but I'd love to...
Lunch?
Oh, no, I know, you're right. It's not right, it's just...
Why? We gotta eat.
I have a car.
A limo?
Yeah.
Brenda runs for the door. Elise and Annie exchange a knowing look.
Oh, it is so wonderful seeing you all.
Thank
just
you.
I can't tell you, it's... Elise? Oh,
what?
You have not changed a bit in 20 years.
Oh.
Not one little bit.
Oh, my.
It's utterly bizarre.
Brenda touches Elise's
Brenda.
Face.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry.
Excuse me, ladies. Would anyone like a drink?
Oh, yes. I would like Virgin Mary.
Bloody Mary.
Vodka rocks, please. Now, I just want to say this and get this out of the way. I'm the most terrible person in the whole wide world.
Oh,
I tried to stay in touch, and I should have written every single month, but, oh, I don't know.
Sorry, I don't.
Oh, Annie, you had a life
to lead.
I mean, and it must have been so time-consuming, churning out all those newsletters.
I'm sorry.
I know it's a terrible excuse for a reunion, but here we all are.
So how are you guys, huh?
Oh, just fine. Couldn't be better.
And things are just rolling right along for me right now.
Same here.
Not
wood. Oh, not wood.
Okay. Oh, great to see you guys again. Yes.
Later.
I mean, why did she do it? I don't understand. I mean, was there something that I could have done to have helped? What happened to make her want to...
Well, she probably gave Gil the best years of her life. Sacrificed her youth. Always put herself last in order to bolster his ego, his drive, his ambition. And just as her dignity was hanging on by a thread, he just lopped it off by running off with some preschooler. I'm guessing.
Elise takes a drink.
You too.
You, Brenda?
Brenda?
My Morty got to be this big shot on TV. He was selling electronics, right? On our 20th wedding anniversary, it hits. Midlife crisis. Major. He starts working out. He grows a mustache. He gets an earring. I said, Morty, what are you, a pirate? What's next, a parrot? And all of a sudden, I'm a big drag. I'm holding him back because I won't go rollerblading.
What's your name?
Shelley. Shelley the Barracuda. She's 12.
Oh, Bren. Oh, Elise, I just am so sorry about both of your marriages. I wish that I could have helped or that I could have been there in some way.
Yeah. Well, what about you?
Me?
About your marriage, I mean.
Everything's just fine, really. I mean, Aaron is so terrific and, well, now let's think. We've been married for 25 years. Yep, and Chris is just perfect. I mean, lesbians are great nowadays. And, well, the marriage is just, it's going to be really fine. Aaron and I are just, you know, we're temporarily sort of kind of, you know, just a little bit, we're separated.
Separated.
Separated?
Separated.
Well, we...
Elise and Brenda glance at each other and laugh.
Well.
Even later.
Okay, Elise. The time has come. Spill those lips. What's in them? Are they wax?
Excuse me?
What else did you have done? Come on, Elise, you can tell me. The cheekbones, the jawline. Do you just have a little bit or the full enchilada?
I work out every day. I watch my diet. I have not had plastic surgery.
Well, good for you. You look terrific.
Oh, come on. At least you're lying through your caps.
Okay. All right, I have been freshened up a little bit.
Oh, God. Does it hurt?
No.
What do they do with the stuff they take off? Do you get to keep it?
Oh, come on, Brenda. It's the 90s, for God's sakes. I mean, it's like plastic surgery's like good grooming. It's like brushing your teeth.
Elise, look at you. You have been yanked and stitched and stuffed and pulled. You're a turkey.
Oh, what?
And please who? Wait, your ex-husband?
No, to please
everybody. Elise lights a cigarette.
To please everybody.
Everybody.
Men,
everyone.
Women, studio executives. I mean, come on. I mean, youth and beauty, man. I mean, that's the ticket. When men, women get to be a certain age.
Bye-bye, love.
Hello, Pop-Tarts. That's right, baby. It's Holocaust. Mm-hmm.
Much later.
Oh, God, I wish I had the courage to just give it all up, you know?
Oh,
just say,
no.
Who gives a rat's ass? And just let myself go like you two did. Oh, no. No offense.
None taken.
Oh, speak for yourself, okay?
Elise, you're gifted, you're talented and successful,
thank
and Brenda, you're wonderfully verbal, and I am seeing a very talented therapist. Now, we're in our prime, and by the way, my marriage is just fine, thank you.
Annie, you have an amazing attitude. You are so cheerful.
Well,
you are, look at me.
What?
You are genuinely happy.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing, huh?
Well, thank you.
Lithium?
They look to Annie expectantly. In a therapist's office.
You would have been so proud of me, Leslie. I mean, I was the only positive thing at that table. I mean, of course, there are still traces of the same wonderful, witty women I knew all those years ago. But, oh, I don't know. I just don't know. They're just so angry and they're so confused. I mean, when we were young, we had such spirit.
Say it, Annie.
Huh? What?
Work from love.
Okay. Work from love.
Good. Grow from love.
Grow from love.
Screw the world.
I can't say that. I'm sorry, Leslie.
Hey, Annie.
What?
Annie, you are still doing it.
I know.
You have a problem with unexpressed anger.
Well, I know. You're absolutely right. You know, it's my... I don't know what it is. It's my mother. It's Connecticut. It's all these loud noises.
And Aaron?
No, I know we're separated, but I think this is just really... It's like a rest period, Leslie. We're just kind of...
Leslie hits Annie with a foam bat.
Do it, Annie. Get angry.
I couldn't. I know that I should, Leslie. I really do. It's just...
Hit me. Stand up,
no,
Annie, and hit me.
I can't. Leslie, I'm so sorry. It's
Come
just...
On.
You know, maybe, I know what, maybe, next
Annie,
week...
Annie, let it out. I want you to hit me. Trust me. Come on. It's okay.
Okay.
Oh,
Rambo!
Ooh,
a
no.
real tough guy. Come on, Gosh. Annie. Hit me!
I love that.
Annie socks Leslie hard in the face.
Oh,
that was better.
I'm so sorry.
Leslie takes the bat back.
Please don't tell Aaron.
Oh, time's up. It's time to go. Do you feel better?
Thank you.
Good.
Downtown, Elise and her attorney exit an elevator.
He doesn't have the guts to tell me he wants a divorce in person. I have to hear it on television. Entertainment Tonight.
Elise,
hard copy.
Be cool. Be calm.
I am.
I actually saw that show. It was really rather interesting.
Oh, Tom, I don't want to hear about it.
The marriage between my client and Ms. Elliott resulted in many successful films.
Elise smiles.
Including Inner Urges, Human Instinct, and my personal favorite, Animal Nature, in which he played an extremely sensual veterinarian.
Thank you.
My idea.
Was not.
Was too.
My client produced these films, which enhanced Miss Elliott's career. Therefore, she is indebted to him.
I produced these films. You knew nothing about films when I met you. I taught you everything. What?
Those were good years, Elise. Your best.
And therefore, we request one half of Miss Elliott's assets... and a monthly stipend.
He wants alimony?
As for the possessions, the sculpture, art,
the
Japanese porcelain, and important Auger collected during the marriage,
I want to tell you
my
something,
client
sister.
Feels it would be only fair for Miss Elliott to dispose of the collection and divide the proceeds in an even split.
Why? Because they were anniversary presents? They were Christmas
Her husband, Bill, smiles condescendingly.
And now he wants more?
Outside a store display.
We're going to go have lunch. Oh, now look at this. Duardo, I ask you, please, now who's supposed to wear that? Some anorexic teenager? Some fetus? It's a conspiracy. I know it is. I've had enough. I'm leading a protest. I am never buying another item of clothing until these designers...
Brenda's friend drags her inside the store.
Brenda worked for a man named Duarte Felice, one of the 10 worst interior decorators in New York City. I think his real name was Dwayne Hemelwitz.
It's electric.
Oh, God.
And look at this hideous.
Duardo, I cannot afford it.
No, but you've got to have it. Go and try it on. Who cares? You could sell your brooch, your son.
Brenda sees a man looking at women's clothing. She approaches him.
Morty. Well, look at you.
Brenda,
you
don't embarrass
prosperous.
Me.
Don't embarrass
Don't
you.
Make a scene.
Don't
no.
make a scene.
Do not make a scene.
Don't embarrass don't you. Make... You got a nerve. I'll tell you what's embarrassing.
Down, okay?
Being hassled by Mr. Zaworski
here.
In the
Brenda,
elevator because I'm behind
yourself, right?
in the red. That's Listen. Embarrassing. Worrying about how I'm going to get my kid from college.
Brenda,
that's embarrassing.
You know something? You never listen. For 20 years, you never, ever listen. Here. Honey, why don't you try this on in the fitting room? It looks very nice.
You know, I could use this. It's very beautiful. And I love the color. But what am I going to use for money? Brenda, how am I going to pay for it?
It's the company that is expanding. Don't you understand that? The company, not me. I'm a mere laborer, okay?
You're a liar and a fraud.
I have no money. I'm not rich.
Really?
No.
Why don't you look in your purse?
Oh, you're very funny.
They're stunning, Morton. I need all of them.
Morton?
A young woman comes out from the dressing room.
Oh, God, make it go away.
Shelley, look at you. My, my, the bulimia certainly has paid off.
Don't start.
What's the matter, Morty? Can't you buy her a whole dress?
Stop it.
Brenda, why don't you try these on in your size?
Shelley holds her hand wide, gesturing to Brenda's waist. Brenda tears up.
It's really a delight running into you today, Brenda.
In a restaurant.
You've read the script.
Oh, yes. Oh, it is so... I mean, it's utterly original. It's so good. You're so gifted, Brad.
Brad smiles.
Hey.
And Monique. Monique, yeah, I'm saying Monique. She is a great character.
Thank you. Man, what a kick. Elise Elliott in a Brett Artunian film.
So tell me, how do you see her?
Well, I think we go for grotesque.
What?
Yeah, all the way. I mean, no makeup, overhead lighting. You know, bring out every wrinkle, every crag. God, with you in the part, Monique's mother's not going to be just another Jurassic flesh bag in a wheelchair. She's epic. It's like Elise Elliott, the Crypt Keeper.
Elise wears a disturbed look and clings to her glass. Brenda walks in the door, returning home. She lets her purse drop from her shoulder and sets down her shopping bags. On the verge of tears, she unbuttons her coat, shrugging it off, and throws her arms down like an upset child.
Mom, I'm spending the night at Dad's. Don't worry, I'm studying. Baruch atah Adonai. Happy now?
In the kitchen, she opens the freezer door. She stares sadly on its front, where pictures of overweight women are displayed. She leaves the kitchen. Meanwhile, in a hotel bar.
Maurice?
Elise sits alone.
I want another one. They want me to play the mother.
Sorry?
The mother. Let me ask you something, Maurice. Is this the face of a mother?
No, Mom. Well, certainly not mine.
She lights a cigarette.
Mm-hmm. So I thought.
Now in Annie's kitchen.
I don't mean to criticize, but you have no feeling for noodles.
Thank you, Mom.
Annie snacks while her mother drains spaghetti.
Mm. Hello. Oh, Erin? Oh, nothing. I'm just having pasta with Mother.
Her mom looks up, hopeful.
Oh, no, you say. Oh, sure. Oh, that would be good. Bye. Believe we're going to have dinner. Dinner, can you believe that? Oh, my God. Do you know what this means? I bet it means that he has reprioritized. He's worked through all of his relationship phobias, his fear of intimacy, his thing about my, you know, poisoning his food, and he's ready to recommit.
In a restaurant, a host seats Brenda alone.
Here we go. Thank you. Enjoy. Thank you. Excuse me. Sorry.
She squeezes herself into a small table between two couples. A waiter approaches.
Una? By yourself?
Si.
He clears the second place setting. She sees the couple next to her staring. In a fancy restaurant, waiters carry drinks on trays and couples in black tie dance around Annie, looking expectantly around the room. Walking through the crowd, she uncomfortably fusses with her hair, smiling nervously. A man rises from his table, smiling at her.
How are you?
Hello.
Erin takes her purse for her. He extends his arm for them to dance. He smoothly takes the lead, and Annie looks at him adoringly. Erin spins her around the dance floor. Back at the hotel bar.
I'm not Monique's mother.
No.
No, Angela Lansbury is Monique's mother. Mm-hmm. And Shelley Winters is Monique's mother.
Now that's good.
Sean Connery is Monique's mother.
Yeah. Perhaps I should get you some coffee.
Oh, wait a minute. I take that back. Sean Connery is Monique's boyfriend. Now, he's 300 years old, but he's still a stud.
And I'm going to get you that coffee.
She wipes her eyes and tosses the tissue Maurice offers. In a hotel room, Erin lovingly kisses Annie. He's wearing a robe and she her dress from earlier.
Oh, honey. I think I should go.
tomorrow. We could start moving your things back in.
I mean, if that's okay. It's just, oh, sweetie, I hated seeing your side of the closet all empty. You know, Dr. Rosen? She would be so proud of us. I wish she were here. Well, not literally, but I just can't wait to tell her how we've worked everything out. It's like we should get therapy gold stars.
Oh, Annie. I love you.
Erin reaches out to Annie, smiling in the bathroom doorway, for her to come closer. He pulls her to him for a kiss.
Erin, I love you.
I want a divorce.
Her face falls.
But we just made love! I mean, you asked me.
I asked you out to tell you, but then you looked so great. And I thought, geez, how romantic. You know, one last time, the goodbye kiss.
But this wasn't just a kiss.
Annie, don't be childish. You know how you manipulate me.
What? Manipulate? What? Oh, my God. Is there someone else?
Of course not. This is about us.
But
it's really about you, but...
Babe?
Leslie enters.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
This is very awkward.
No. Annie was just leaving.
What? You told her?
I was totally up front.
What? Excuse me?
Well,
Annie, this is rough. I know that.
Rough? Wait a minute. I don't understand. You are my therapist.
I'm a woman.
He is my husband.
Annie, we've been separated for months now. Let's not overdramatize, okay?
Erin, she's allowed to be angry. Annie, let's use this. He's found someone new. You're free. Closure.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but that is not what this is.
Well, Annie...
No,
Annie, you are not helping us out here. Now, I am sorry that this happened this way.
I am very sorry I ever met you, and I am sorry that I allowed myself to love you for all those years. I'm sorry I did nothing but be there for you every minute of every day and support you in your every move!
Leslie's eyes widen.
I'm sorry!
Erin looks surprised at Annie. Annie exits. At a mirror, she wipes her eyes. Slowly, she walks into the elevator. The next morning at Elise's penthouse, wearing a face mask, hair towel and robe, she rubs her head. Cocktail in hand, she sees mail left for her by the door. On top is a letter from Cynthia. Meanwhile, Brenda gets her mail and notes Cynthia's return address. The rest of her mail drops as she opens it. She reads. Elsewhere, Annie reads, I'm so sorry we didn't remain in each other's lives. Elise reads her own letter. But I knew you'd be someone important, Annie. Sometimes I've envied your life. What I read seems so perfect. It's funny. In college, I dreamed of making a difference, of helping others, but now it's as if I never existed. Annie reads to her mother.
I wish I had talent like Elise, or Brenda's humor, or your strength, Annie. But most of all, I wish I still had our friendship. Perhaps Gil isn't the problem. Oh, God. Perhaps loneliness is. Please take care of each other. Love, Cynthia.
Annie touches her mom's arm. She takes the envelope from Annie.
And on such pretty stationery.
I have to make some calls, Mom.
Later, the women sit together in a living room drinking champagne.
God, poor Cynthia.
I know.
If only she'd have called me. If only I were listed.
Well, you know something? She was right. She was. In college, we were focused and we were brave. We couldn't wait.
It's all over. I'm alone.
Brynn.
I don't have anything.
No.
I don't have
anything.
Brenda, you have a son who adores you. I'm alone. Oh. I'm Monique's mother.
Yes, Monique, but Jason's going to go off to college pretty soon, and then I'll be even more alone. Oh, no, plus, yeah. I'll be really a lot older, okay?
And then if I have any more plastic surgery, I won't be able to sleep.
I'm going to have to get a job at McDonald's.
Yeah, and I'll have to do ads for adult diapers.
I'll have to wear them.
No. I just spent the last 25 years with the most self-absorbed, arrogant man on earth who is getting married to my therapist, who I paid a fortune to lecture me on self-esteem, huh?
Ooh, you win. Oh, where's your life? Oh,
well, I am not going to be that woman anymore, you guys. What has happened to us is unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. You know, I made all those stupid movies with that Bill. You know, I gave him a career, and he stole mine.
I worked behind the cash register in his first store, in his first 15 stores.
Yeah, well, I gave Aaron a home, and I gave him a daughter. I washed his shorts, I ironed them, and I starched them.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, well, I mean, I supervised.
Oh, God. So what? All right, what? What are we saying? What do we want? Revenge?
No, we are not talking about revenge. No, I am talking about justice. I'm going to give that Aaron so much justice he can't even see straight if he thinks his partners are trouble.
Yeah, well, Bill's always had it easy.
That's right.
That's right. Let me tell you something. What? Bill's had it easy every inch of the way. Every inch of the way he's had a woman taking care of him.
Exactly.
Yeah, and what would happen one day if he didn't?
Okay, what do you think, Brenda? Huh? What do you think about
that? What do you think?
I loved Morty.
What?
Very deeply. I wouldn't want to see him hurt or harmed.
I don't. I want him dumped by little Miss Midriff, by that Stairmaster L'Oreal crotch jockey in front of everyone in the Western Hemisphere on the 6 o'clock news, okay?
Brenda!
And after that, of course, I want world peace.
All right. Let's get serious. We help them rise.
We can help them fall.
Oh, but I don't know how we're going to do that.
How?
What do you mean?
Yeah, she's right. We're has-beens. We're hanging on by a thread. We're just discards. We're not hanging on by a thread and we're discards. Look at us by being together. Right. Us. Unity. I mean, if all the first wives of the world got together, what else do we need?
Just one amazing attorney.
No. All we need is us. Three women who aren't afraid to fight, to stand up for our dignity, for our self-esteem. And then we'll let him have it.
Okay. See this?
What?
Look. Ooh, wait, right here. Whoa. Okay.
Annie removes her wedding band, dropping it into the champagne flute. Brenda drops hers in, and it fizzes. Elise throws hers in, too.
All right, First Wives Club, we'll come to order.
Starting the club was easy. Figuring out what to do next was considerably harder. We each decided to gather information about our husbands.
Elise downs hers.
Elise.
Yeah. I went in search of a spy.
The women walk up to a nightclub.
Why can't we just call Chris and ask her to help us?
I wanted to know that I support her completely and her, her lifestyle.
Hey, I've never been to a gay bar before.
Hey,
here we go. Hi, I think you're just, you're terrific. There you go.
Annie pats a woman on the back.
Look at this, my God. Isn't this great, all these women?
Yeah, maybe we'll get lucky.
Elise Ellis, right?
I mean, like, from the movies.
Yeah.
I knew you were gay. I told everyone. I said, Elise Elliott is so hot. You are, like, the most amazing babe on this planet.
God bless you.
Yeah? Hey, you, want to dance?
Oh, yeah.
A woman puts her arm around Elise and pulls her away.
Hi, sweetie. Hello.
Mom.
Chris sees Annie at the bar.
Hi. Thought I'd just, like, come and have a little... What's the matter?
Anyway, I thought that we'd have a nice little chat about our plans.
Mom, you know you're in a gay bar.
I know, honey, I know, and that's what's so great. It's very woman-identified, and... Oh, by the way, I'm Chris's mom.
Are you gay?
Sorry.
At the bar, Brenda finds a seat beside a sobbing woman.
What's wrong?
It's my lover. She left me after 18 years with some teenager weighs 12 pounds. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Oh, my God. That's just like me and Morty.
Who?
Morty.
Brenda flashes a wallet photo.
She's butch.
Nail Daddy and those other lowlives?
No, Chris, I don't mean nail him. I mean just teach him and help them.
Vaporize them.
Yes!
Okay. I'm in.
Okay. Annie turns to find Elise tearing up the dance floor surrounded by women. Brenda follows Annie.
Elise! 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 Chris is
me, babe. Oh. Come on, honey. My place.
Brandy, you're so possessive.
In Aaron's office.
I don't know. It's just something I was thinking about, you know, for my resume. Wouldn't interfere with school. Just something part-time till I graduate. Come on, Dad. How about a little nepotism?
No, no. I mean, I'll hire you. I'm surprised. I mean, you've never shown any interest in advertising.
I know, Daddy. I'm here to learn.
Great. It's great.
Now Elise marches into a downtown high-rise office.
For her part, Elise decided to pull the rug out from under Bill. Literally. After all, it was his lawyer's idea that she dispose of their common property.
Miss Elliot, you know how he hates to be interrupted. Please just let me tell him that you're here. Miss Elliot, please, please.
Movers trail after Elise.
Elise, what a kick, but I'm on with the coast.
All the good stuff goes. The Lampica, the Ming vase, Amari porcelain, the Fabergé eggs, that wingback chair, that green Tiffany lamp.
Babe, Lisey, what's going on?
Well, as per your request, I'm consolidating all the assets we've acquired during our marriage for liquidation. I think that would include all of these things. I bought you these antiques.
You are the best.
Love tokens, anniversary gifts, junk. Here, take that desk too.
Elise, this hurts me. I care about you, about us, about the magic. What exactly is going on here?
And this Japanese secretary, I want that to go.
Back off, Jacko! Elise, this isn't right. It's hormonal. You can't do this.
Watch me.
But this is my stuff.
It's the 90s, Bill. Downsize.
They carry off Bill's things. In a synagogue, people take their seats.
It was at Jason's bar mitzvah 2 weeks later that the First Wives Club got its first big break, thanks to Brenda's dear, dear Sicilian uncle.
An older man waves to Brenda sitting with Annie.
It's Uncle Carmine. My father's side.
Annie nods, brows raised.
Morty and I have been planning for this day since Jason was born.
I know, but Morty's going to be here, Brenda.
But not next to me. We're not a family anymore. It's okay. I'll be fine.
Brenda dabs her eyes, then notices Morty arriving with Shelley wearing fur. She removes the coat to reveal a skin-tight pink dress.
He brought her to my son's bar mitzvah.
Is she a gift?
Afterwards, outside the synagogue.
Brenda, can I speak freely?
Oh, sure. Annie's cool.
I speak for the entire family and your dear departed father, my beloved brother, when I say that Morty is garbage. And it would be an honor to me to take him out.
No, Uncle Carmine, no, don't you dare. Morty the garbage is my problem. I'll work it out myself somehow, thanks. Thanks for the thought anyway, though.
For Morty to treat you this way, after everything your father did for him, where would he be without him? You know, the first year of his business, every piece of stock in his store fell off one of our trucks.
You're not serious.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were happy to help you, newlyweds.
Morty? A crook? My Morty.
Check his books. They're fiction. Best sellers. Ciao.
Grazie.
Bye.
Carmine gets into a waiting car.
Really like your uncle.
In a loft, a young woman rehearses a scene with Bill.
Mother, where are you?
Over here, bitch.
Mother, I met a man. He's an angel. He's a god. He's a doctor.
The woman leaps onto Bill with her script.
Perfect.
Wait, so I really have the part?
Oh, baby, you know it.
Pizza!
She hurries to the door. Elise walks in.
Oh, my God!
Elise?
There's the Lichtenstein.
What the hell are you doing here? Hey!
The dime. Take that. This is so cool to live.
All of this gym equipment.
Elise, I'm getting a restraining order.
No, Bill, this is great. Elise, hi. I'm Phoebe. I've seen all your movies, and I want to be just like you. Only me.
Phoebe, some advice. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Babe, she's better.
And take the cappuccino machine. Oh, Bill. I have a great idea. Wouldn't she be great to play opposite me?
Bill is producing this new incredible movie with this young hot director, and I'm gonna be the star of it. I'm Monique.
What?
And you can be my mom.
Bill's girlfriend hugs Elise, and she scowls at Bill. Downtown.
While Elise cleaned out Bill's office, his loft, and their house in the Hamptons, Brenda and I look for an office, a base of operation for the club.
Oh. Why?
Elise greets them in a unit packed with valuables. Brenda scowls at the mess.
I just love what you've done with this. It's early everything, huh?
Ooh. Oh, my goodness. Look at this.
Brenda picks up Elise's Oscar trophy.
You know what it says? It says, I beat Meryl.
It does not, Brenda. Put that down.
Is there chocolate inside?
No, put it down.
Okay, okay.
Put it gently down.
No. Okay, look at this. Do you believe this stuff?
Huh? I mean, I don't know what to do with it. I didn't have any room in my warehouse. I could have put it in that building I own downtown.
Annie and Brenda exchange looks.
You own a building?
Yeah, I do. Except I sublet it normally, but now it's vacant.
Soon after, a yellow cab drops the trio off at a rundown building with columns on the facade. Inside,
there's a lot of work to be done. And you have to see this other space.
Look at this.
Huh? Brenda's jaw drops at the grimy, dimly lit storage space.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, so this is perfect.
Oh, my God!
Later, they high-five in the chic, redesigned headquarters with three matching desks.
While Brenda and I worked like crazy, gathering every piece of information we could lay our hands on, Elise spent most of her time on the phone to her agent.
Dan Carlin, please. Elise Elliott calling. Elise Elliott.
And finally, he came through for her.
This is a great play.
I told her.
Yeah.
I told her. She had to do it.
I know.
I don't want to do theater. I haven't done theater in years. And Bill always said I shouldn't do theater. He did say it was bad for my career, which actually I agree with.
Excuse me, but this is a very great part for you. This is about a bitter, unloved, emotionally barren woman.
But that's not me.
It's you.
Thank you.
Please.
Elise climbs an elliptical.
Hello?
Bill, where's Elise?
It's Bill.
Hello?
Listen to me, you piece of garbage.
Oh, I can't hear you.
I'll sue you. I'll break you. You vindictive sack of silicone. That's my car, you piece of plastic.
Oh, darn.
Bill. Lamborghini.
The Lamborghini.
He's mad.
Woo. Annie checks Bill's car off a wall chart.
Elise, can I ask you a question? Look at you. Aren't you frustrated? You climb and you climb, and you don't get anywhere.
Oh, I love it. Burns off the booze. And you want to know something? I tell you, I get my best ideas when I'm working out.
You get ideas?
Well, it clears out my head. You know, I think straight. Everything just makes sense.
Well, you better start thinking, because we need Morty's books to prove fraud. Where do you think they are?
I know where they are. Morty just bought Shelley a penthouse. That's where everything is, but we have to figure out how to get in.
Eduardo?
Yeah, Shelley has a new apartment. It needs to be decorated.
Oh. She's right. She does get ideas.
At Morty's condo.
Quinilla? I'd adore it.
Shelley beams.
Enchanté. Au revoir, Jolie. Quinilla Garson Goldberg, personally calling me to invite me to one of her super social luncheons.
Morty looks confused.
Why?
At Quinilla's penthouse.
Quinilla Goldberg was happy to help us with our little plan, she being a first wife herself. Indeed, Quinilla was a first, second, third, and fourth wife, which accounted for her very comfortable surroundings.
This is delicious.
Good.
You know, usually I bring my own dressing, you know, that fat-free ranch stuff. But this is restaurant quality.
Thank you.
Can I say something? When I first got your call, I said to Morty, I said, this just feels so right, me and Quinilla. See, I used to work for Morty. I was his executive assistant behind the counter. Of course, he was married to that nightmare then, Brenda. I mean, completely class-free dumpster woman.
Quinilla glares.
I said to him, Morty, you've got to move on and move up. And now, here I am. Taste Central.
You know what? You know, the moment I saw you, my first impression was I thought, she's someone, she's something.
See? That's what I told him. But he doesn't get it.
He doesn't get a lot of things.
Are you finished?
Oh,
Yeah, I'm done.
Take the fork.
A server leans in.
Fork.
Shelley relinquishes her fork and picks her teeth.
You know, all you need to take your place in society is perhaps a few words of advice, you know, and a guiding hand.
Like, such as what?
Well, you're the correct florist and the utterly ideal chef. And, of course, a decorator of death. See, your house is your calling card. It has to be perfected, photographed, published.
Oh, my God. Can you really help me? I would kill for that.
That's unnecessary. Just two words. Duarte Felice.
She holds out Duarte's card.
Now he is a genius. A gem. Of course, he's almost impossible to get. He works all the time.
Oh. Mouth agape, Shelley desperately reaches for his card. Gunilla lets her snatch it. Outside, watching from a limo.
There she is,
huh?
Princess Pelvis.
Gunilla said she went for it.
No. All right, Johnny, let's go.
So, Duarte makes his move and Shelley falls for it. Now, let's synchronize our watches.
This is just like Mission Impossible.
Oh, that was a big hit.
At Morty's.
Oh, I was late.
God, shut up, Morty, and just stay shut, all right?
Take it easy.
Oh, God, what if he doesn't like this? What if he says no?
What are you worried about? Calm down.
Shelley fusses with Morty's suit, then her hair. She flips a switch on a cherub fountain and crosses her fingers.
Okay.
Duarte, dressed impeccably, smiles.
Hello. Please, do come in.
Shelley curtsies.
It's an honor, and beyond.
Gunilla Garson Goldberg informs me that you are my new best friend.
I hope.
Duarte Feliz. May I?
Oh.
He takes in the lavish foyer. Morty stiffly follows.
Extraordinary. Interesting little touches everywhere.
Wait!
That chair is agony.
Oh, God, Morty, do something.
What do you want me to do?
I don't know, just cover it up or just get rid of it.
Morty drapes Duarte's coat over the chair.
Take it easy.
That's his chair. I didn't want that chair.
It's covered. Thanks ever so much. Now then.
In the living room, Duarte closes his eyes and waves his hands around.
I feel...
You feel...
light.
Oh.
Outside, a gold Rolls Royce pulls up. A doorman stands guard and Gunilla pulls out her cell and a business card. Inside.
Get out. What? I need to be alone in this space for an hour at least. It is very delicate. I must bond.
We understand.
I must have total access. What is upstairs?
That's just the office. I mean, L'Office.
No, stay out of L'Office.
Okay? Leave me.
We understand.
1 hour. 1 hour. One
Morty.
Hour. Thank you.
Duarte paces, then peeks in the hall as the elevator doors close on Shelley and Morty. Duarte leans down the hall where the trio pokes their heads around a corner.
Bye-bye.
Girls. Girls.
Brenda, Elise, and Annie stumble inside the condo. A sad Brenda views the lavish space.
Honey, don't worry. Over here. Hurry. Come on, don't look. Over here. Let's go. Let's right go. Here.
They run in the bedroom.
Oh, here we go. Okay, in here. Yeah.
While the others ransack an armoire, Brenda gapes at the huge pink canopy bed. She plummets onto the elaborate bed. Annie and Elise pause to comfort her.
Listen, there's an office upstairs.
There's an office upstairs. Let's go upstairs.
Good girl.
They race to the open staircase, and the railings wobble as they climb it.
I feel dizzy.
In the office, the women clumsily bump into each other in their haste.
I'm going to go. Annie, you check the computer. I'll check the files. Oh, I need the key. Where's the key?
Gunilla dials her phone from her rolls. Duarte rushes to answer.
Hello.
Ready.
Annie types at the computer frustratedly.
Oh. Come on, tax returns.
Brenda opens the drawer to all of Morty's files. Elise rummages in a box, but glimpses a mirror and starts to admire herself instead.
Hmm. What is this stuff?
Brenda finds the files they're looking for and smiles with relief. Vanilla watches Morty and Shelley returning and warns DeWardo.
Come on, hustle, Morty.
Social climbers on the rise.
Oh, God!
DeWardo bolts upstairs to the girls.
Step back!
Stop them!
I got the files.
Keep them away from the front door.
Elise jams files down her coat and Annie panics, flailing her arms. The girls slap her with files. DeWardo sprints downstairs, posing casually as Shelley and Morty enter.
Hello.
Hi, I know you said an hour, but I'm just freezing down there and I couldn't stay away. Tell me everything.
How much?
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to go look out the living room windows. Why? Because, I'll tell you why, the windows are the eyes of our room.
The women tiptoe across the upstairs landing while DeWardo distracts.
The valance is our eyebrows, the drapes.
I gotta pee.
Oh, no, Morty!
No,
come, come
back.
The women hide from Morty.
Where was I? Oh, the drapes, the eyelashes.
I thought you said the window was our eyes.
They sneak back into the office.
What did I do?
Brenda points to a balcony door.
Okay. All right.
She slides open the door and Elise zips up against the cold. Out on the balcony.
All right, what do we do?
Brenda sees an escape route.
Yeah, we're gonna get into this window washing thing, and we're going down.
Oh, Brenda.
They look down from the top floor high rise.
No!
Brenda grabs Annie.
Oh, my God. Annie, we've gotta go down, honey. That's the only way out.
No, you don't understand.
Come quiet. Get a grip. Come on, you're the new Annie.
Yeah, come on, here's Annie. Watch, Annie. I'm going upstairs. I go on my
Elise pulls Annie in and Brenda pushes her butt. The rocking window washing platform sways 20 floors above ground.
Give me the controls.
Brenda hits a button and the platform drops.
Gotham, my inspiration. The white of the snow coating the trees of Central Park. The yellow of the taxis. The blue.
Outside the window, the platform stops with the girls looking into Morty's living room. DeWardo pulls Shelley away so she can't see.
Design next. But forget about that, because we've got something to look at right down here. The window meeting is over. It's time to consider the stairs.
What about that dumb fountain?
Well, I'd rather like it.
Outside, Brenda fiddles with the button. Suddenly, the platform plummets fast. It stops in the window of a couple making love.
Oh, my God!
Is that Elise Elliot?
Elise, you look great!
Elise cups her ear from outside.
You look great!
She mouths thank you and they plummet. Gunilla sees them and gasps. Brenda fumbles with the remote. Annie grabs it, their hair flying straight up in the air. The platform comes to a stop just above the ground. Gunilla sees them land and clutches her chest. They step onto the sidewalk in shock.
You want to go again?
Later, candles light the inside of First Wives headquarters. The women drink champagne.
No, really, really.
Except for that one time. Never mind. I'm not going to tell you.
Why not?
You didn't think
we're
I'm
not
going to
judge you.
Of course I tell us. Say it.
We're your friends. Yeah. We're your buddies. Yeah. We love and cherish you. We would never, ever make fun of you.
No, ever. Well, would we, hun?
No.
Elise winks.
Okay. All right. Now, you remember, it was Cynthia's birthday, her 21st. Remember?
Oh my God.
And her parents rented that big hall.
Oh.
And we wanted to do something so special for her. And Elise thought that we should be the entertainment. We were supposed to sing to her like a girl group.
Yeah, she sang that Leslie Gore song.
No,
we were big hit.
I hated it. I totally hated it. I had to sing. I was totally terrified in front of all those people. I'd rather go right up that building and just jump.
Oh my!
I would. Well, no, but it was for Cynthia.
No, it wasn't. I remember that. We were a group. We are a group. You know what? We should do it again. We should sing again.
Let's sing again.
Why not? Come on, we'll blend. We'll sing with you.
No. We'll blend. Come on, we're on a streak.
All of us all together, real loud, okay? Yeah. You're going to sing with me, all right?
We'll never let her down.
Okay. All right. To Cynthia, happy birthday, wherever you are.
All right.
Okay, Cynthia.
Ooh.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Nyum, nyum,
nyum, nyum.
Go.
Nyum, nyum, pick a note. You don't own me.
They stand to dance.
I'm not just one of your many toys. You don't own me. Don't say I can't go with other boys. And don't tell me what to do. And don't tell me what to say.
Brenda and Elise flop back on the floor, laughing at Annie. Annie's answering machine.
Hi, Mom. It's your little spy at the ad agency. Look, I can't really talk right now, but have I got news for you? I think it's time you got back into the advertising business. Call me.
Brenda's machine.
Brenda, Annie, listen to this. Aaron's partners want to sell their share of the advertising agency. I mean, if I could, I tell you, I could buy this if I had the money. Can you imagine? Oh, God, Aaron would die.
Elise's machine.
Elise, this is Brenda. Annie needs to make a down payment on an advertising agency. Any idea where she could get that kind of money?
Christie's auction house.
So Elise sold me all of Bill's things for an extremely reasonable price. And I, in turn, put it all up for auction.
Your sale has generated a great deal of excitement, Mrs. Paradise.
Well, I'm trying to raise funds for my organization, actually.
However, I must warn you that some lots may fail to sell.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Shelley grimaces at an item.
$380,000 for the Liechtenstein. $380,000 selling them. A warning at $380,000. Paddle 372.
Shelley sits between Duardo and Gunilla.
$380,000 for that?
Lot 55 is the Louis Sayers canapé showing here on my left. And I have $45,000 on the telephone to start this now.
$45,000. Oh, fabulous. Absolutely sublime.
Doesn't look very comfy. Morty likes his recliner.
Gunilla shoots Elise a glance across the aisle. Elise bids.
$50,000. $55,000. The ladies bid up front.
Oh, my God. Did you see who bid? That's Elise Elliot.
Oh. Yeah, she has impeccable taste for an actress.
$55,000. A warning then, at $55,000.
That's a fabulous show.
$55,000. Oh, I don't know.
That sofa, Architectural Digest.
Papa.
Really?
Oh, you? Guaranteed. Mm-hmm.
Shelley lifts her bidding paddle.
$60,000 this side. New bidder now at $60,000 and selling left then. Not yours here, madam, at $60,000.
Elise and Gunilla smile.
For you, madam, $60,000.
I got a chase.
In the back, Annie takes notes.
Lot 57, the fine Yongcheng charger showing here, and $90,000 to start this. $90,000 is bid. Thank you, sir. $90,000. $100,000. New bidder now. $110,000. Ladies bid here now. $115,000. Thank you, sir. $115,000 now. The bid's here.
It's cute.
Oh, God, it's sublime.
Essential.
Oxygen.
Shelley flashes her paddle.
$125,000. In a new place now. $125,000 up front.
Elise bids.
$130,000. New bidder up front.
Oh, that Elise Elliot. She must be very rich.
Show business. Teach her a lesson. Come on.
$130,000. Our warning then. At $130,000. $130,000. $135,000.
Everyone turns to Brenda wearing a wig and purple leather suit disguised under dark glasses. She smiles.
Wait, who is she? She looks familiar.
Someone very, very glamorous.
Probably Euro trash. Come on, Shelley, I forbid you to let that plate leave the country.
It's Japanese.
Don't they have enough?
Against you all now. 135,000. The bid is here at the back.
Annie paces anxiously. Gunilla glances to Elise, who gestures to do something. Duardo agonizes as Shelley hesitates. Brenda forces her neighbor's paddle up. Elise mutters to Gunilla.
Jackie O had one just like it.
Shelley's paddle pops in the air.
$140,000 up front now. $140,000.
Elise collapses, relieved, in her chair, and Brenda fake shrugs with a smile. Shelley rises, thinking the applause is for her.
Here.
Now at Morty's place.
$40,000 for a plate? $47,000 for a carpet? A used carpet? $300,000 for a Lamborghini? Are you crazy?
I bought the car for you. It was only 300 grand. It was a gift.
With my money you bought it. I bought me the gift.
Jesus, Morty, all I want is a lifestyle, you know? With some ambiance and some classic eternal good taste.
But not for $300,000, Shelley.
She stares at him with a hand on her hip. and walks toward him slowly.
Well, I can leave if you'd like. It's not like you've asked me to marry you. Would you unzip me? Mm-hmm.
He unzips her leopard print spaghetti strap dress. She goes into the bedroom.
Thank you.
Sure, I lost my temper. I'm sorry. The Lamborghini was a very good deal.
At Brenda's, Jason returns home.
Hi, Jace. How's the game?
Knicks lose again.
Oh, every player on that team's a millionaire. They can't really lose. What do you think?
Brenda
That's
spins.
Not new, is it?
It's better than new. It's the first time I've been able to get into it in 3 years. Look at me. I have a waist. I have legs. Who knew? How's your father? Did you have fun?
Yeah, but don't let that bother you.
Honey, what a thing to say.
Jason sits in the recliner.
Jason, look. I remember what it was like when we were a family. It was great. But even though we're not together anymore, you still have both of us.
Come on, Mom. You guys can't even pick out my birthday card without a lawyer.
Jason, I know you worry about your father. He's a very good man. He's a very good, very confused man. And I know you worry about me, but you don't have to because I'm going to be fine. I'm lightening up, literally. And you know what? Your father and I, we love you to pieces, okay? There, did I embarrass you enough?
Almost.
You want to go to a movie? Me and you? Together in public?
Mom, I'm sorry. I guess I was just a little freaked out about Dad getting engaged to Shelley.
Brenda holds her smile for her son.
Oh, well. Yeah, I can see where that would rip your heart out.
Thanks, Mom.
Jason exits. Brenda allows her disappointment to show, wearing a defeated expression. Skyscrapers shape the New York City skyline at night. In her living room, Elise picks vodka from the bar and pours.
We got a nail, Bill. We got to slaughter him. Right off the face of the planet. Him and that tramp, that infant.
She realizes the vodka's empty.
I need a drink.
Holy moly, she's loaded.
No, Brenda, I'm really worried. You know, she had me look at Bill's records and the guy's the same. He's clean.
He's a saint with a great lawyer, that's all.
What?
What do we
got,
huh?
What are you saying? You can't find anything on him?
Oh, well, oh God, Elise, I'm really sorry, and I'm going to look again.
This isn't fair, man. I mean, you're gonna, you know, Aaron's just gonna be massacred, Morty's not gonna know what hit him, and Bill's just gonna walk away with alimony.
Well, we're just going to keep trying, Elise.
Well, you better keep trying, because this is my life, okay? And my money.
Brenda scoffs to Annie on the couch.
I don't get it. You're civilians. I mean, you're just housewives.
That's it.
No, what? You'll never understand.
Brenda snatches Elise's bottle, heading to the kitchen.
Get that back.
I'm saying this to you with love, compassion, and the spirit of true sisterhood. You are full of shit.
Brenda dumps the vodka.
What? So, okay, alimony sucks. Okay, you didn't get to play a policewoman in a wonder bra. But look at you. You grew up gorgeous, and thanks to Cher's pioneering efforts, you still haven't hit puberty. And once upon a time, you were a terrific actress. You've even got an Oscar to prove it. You spent your whole life with people sucking up to you. I'm sure Annie will agree with me when I say your perception of life is somewhat altered.
Oh, Annie, what? Do you agree with her?
Huh?
Oh,
come on.
Well, I don't, Brenda, she's very upset.
Two pinheads.
Wait, what?
Wait a minute. You've got some nerve. I drink because I am a sensitive and highly strung person.
No. That's why your co-stars drink.
I am not a drunk.
Oh, really? Let's examine the evidence.
Look.
She opens the trash.
All bottles. And gallon jugs. I had guests.
Who? Guns N' Roses?
Come on, you two. Now, come on. Now, the enemy is out there. It's not in here. And I thought we were friends.
Oh,
I thought we were best
really?
Friends.
Oh, yeah. After all those years, you never called me.
Well, you were on the stage.
And you always gossip behind my back.
Oh, you deserve it.
You didn't invite me to your son's bar mitzvah.
You wouldn't have come.
Yeah, I was in Hebrew.
Oh, shut up.
You think just because I'm a movie star, I don't have feelings. Well, you're wrong. I do have feelings. I'm an actress.
I have all of them.
Philly swings her drink, spilling.
You see, I'm just a poor little housewife in a little apron with a little child to raise.
Yeah, well, you were always jealous of me, even in college, because I was blonde and beautiful and talented, and I could have any guy I wanted.
And did. Every guy. Most of the senior class and half the faculty.
Well, it was the 60s. Look at this place. Is this where your fan club meets? Do you have ritual sacrifices?
Brenda grabs a trophy.
Oh, put that down. I won that.
I remember your first talkie.
Yeah, what did you ever win? A pie-eating contest? Best suggestions?
Brenda throws it at a framed picture of Elise on the wall and it shatters.
Oh, no. Brenda, this is a Golden Globe. It's sacred. It's trademarked.
She throws it back at Brenda's head.
Are you crazy? Stop it, both of you. Just stop this right this minute.
Annie.
What?
You choose. Who's your friend, me or Brenda?
What?
Yeah, for once in your life, make a decision. Who's your buddy? Some Beverly Hills science project?
Or a woman with her own aisle at the supermarket? Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not getting involved with this. You both have severe psychological problems, and I, you see, I'm the nice one here. I'm not like this.
What?
Yeah, the nice one?
Well, oh my God.
You mean the rag mop, don't you?
Excuse me? I mean the one who can't manage a simple declarative sentence?
The wimp? The wuss? Well, I've changed, and I'm much stronger than I used to be.
Oh, you are self-righteous. You pipsqueak.
Oh, shut up, you arthritic sex kid.
Oh, shut up, Morty's girl.
Mom,
all you care about
Moni,
is Morty.
Stop it! You're both selfish assholes!
Brenda slaps Annie. Elise slaps Brenda. Brenda slaps her back. Annie storms out.
She's right. You know, I gotta say, I always wondered how drunk do you think Cynthia was when she decided to do a jackknife on Park Avenue?
Brenda leaves. Elise ices her cheek with her drink. All alone, surrounded by photos of herself, Elise sobs and leans on the doorframe for support. Annie walks down the sidewalk. Later, Brenda buys desserts at a bakery. It's gonna take some time to forget. Elise cleans up the broken picture. She struggles to turn on a vacuum, then jumps at the sound as it turns on. Heart is only filled with regret. On the sidewalk, Brenda walks home looking depressed. At home, Annie stares at her pearls. She shakes her head and puts them away in her jewelry box. At Elise's, she gathers all of her empty bottles, placing them into a trash can. Annie answers her door.
Oh,
what's wrong? I came right over.
Things are not working out the way I planned.
And you called me? Oh, my God. I am not afraid
of the mystery of tomorrow. Elise exits her building and gets into a waiting cab. Annie sits in her kitchen with her mom and daughter.
I don't know. It's just completely, you know, fallen apart. And we're at each other's throats. And I feel like it's just like it's all my fault. I'm just useless.
The past few weeks you've been a totally different person.
Yeah.
You stopped apologizing for yourself all the time.
Well, I know. I'm sorry, honey. It's just this whole First Wives Club thing. It can't work. And you know, Mom, it never could work.
You make it work. It can. You can make it work. You call Brenda. Call Brenda and Elise.
Oh, I can't call them. What am I gonna say to them? This is just, it's,
I'm telling you, I should have seen this. I should have seen this coming.
I know.
What?
Why don't you write each of them a nice note?
Annie stares.
Or maybe send a hanging plant? Just a suggestion.
No, Mom. Uh-uh. No, it's over. It's over.
Annie walks away, leaving them at the kitchen table. Brenda puts down the pastry she's eating and goes to answer the door.
Brenda, I don't want to be like Cynthia.
Brenda reaches out and hugs Elise.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Come on in. Oh. I've never been to your apartment.
I know.
So real.
At the club headquarters.
Annie!
Annie!
Annie! Annie! What are you doing?
Well, at least it's your loft, and I'm just throwing these things, or I'll burn them if you want.
But why?
Why? Are you kidding? We have just completely embarrassed ourselves. We've become exactly what the world thinks we are, and our ex-husbands. We are the three witches!
Oh, witches? Well, I'll tell you something. Witches have powers.
What?
Well, they do. They have powers for good and for evil.
Annie.
Brenda and I are okay now. We've been talking and we figured out what we think we know what went wrong.
Oh, I know what went wrong. This whole crackpot idea went wrong. Look, revenge and egos, all of us thinking we could fix our silly
lives. No, exactly. We were thinking too small.
What are you talking about?
We were just trying to get back at our ex-husbands, which is a start, but it isn't enough. It's so petty. It's so limited. It's no wonder we're snarling at each other. No wonder we're at each other's throats. No. Listen, we have to take our plan and expand it. First thing, we take care of our own guys because they really have it coming. And then we go global.
How?
Are you really interested? Because if you are, I'll tell you.
I don't know if I'm interested. What if we erupt again? Oh, Elise, what if you start drinking and Brenda, you start sniping away?
Been there.
Done that. It's not enough for me.
Annie.
See,
take a good look at Elise. Look at her. I'm sober. And I'm going to do the play.
Really?
And I'm going to be in the front row opening night.
Sunny friendship is everything. Annie, don't leave. I mean, we can't fall apart now. But even if we want to, we don't have enough information. Of course, we do have stuff on Aaron and Morty.
Yes. But what about Phil?
I mean, at least you're still at square one.
No, not exactly. I mean, you know, I mean, I'll admit it. So far, everything he's done has been completely legal.
Yeah.
As far as he knows.
What do you mean?
Well, it's all a question of angles. Are you in?
Are you back? Talk.
Well, after you.
Thank you. So here's how it goes. This has to be just between us, but I am seriously thinking of taking the role of Monique's mom.
In a restaurant, Phoebe stares at Elise.
And I've just been thinking about, you know, who she is, what she's all about, and, you know, I'm sure you're doing the same thing with Monique.
Oh, sure. I mean, I've been thinking, like, streaks. Just around my face.
Oh, yeah. And what a beautiful face.
Elise subtly glares, petting Phoebe's face.
Anyway, the reason I called you is because if we're going to work together, I think that we should get to know one another. It's important.
Belle is so wrong. You are not Satan.
Oh, stop.
Now on a commercial set.
Do you need a TV or a VCR or a personal computer? Who is the first name in top quality, low-cost appliances? Why, let's ask this beautiful young lady here. Excuse me, ma'am.
Why, hello.
Hello.
Hi. I'm in the market for a low-quality, top-cost appliance.
Cut. Shelley, top-quality, low-cost.
Morton Cushman?
Yeah, what? Yeah.
You have the right to remain silent.
What's going on here? I'm shooting a commercial.
Come
on, let's go. Hey, I'm shooting a commercial.
Marshall's acting on behalf of the IRS.
Hey, Bobby, call my lawyer.
Two men cuff Morty and lead him out to a back alley.
On November 28th, at exactly 1400 hours, Operation Hell's Fury swung into action.
The agents lead Morty to two thugs who put a bag over his head and stuff him in another car's trunk. Aaron strides into his office with a grin.
Morning.
Hi.
How's my day shaping up?
Oh, poor Daddy. It's gonna be hell. Your 9 o'clock's waiting in the conference room.
Okey-dokey.
Chris smirks, looking satisfied.
So, let's see, where do I sit here now? We will also build your expenses incurred, including but not limited to...
Annie looks up from her papers when Aaron arrives.
What is this?
She smiles, very pleased. Elise struts off the elevator into Bill's office carrying a red briefcase. Employees turn to watch her walk by. She walks in on Bill, who's on the phone.
She's gonna read it.
Elise, I'm trying to make a movie here.
Hold your calls.
That was a very important phone call. Where's my first check?
Just sit down and shut up. Hey, now, let's take a meeting.
Bill looks serious and glances at her. In a meat locker, the bag is removed from Morty's head to see Brenda and Uncle Carmine.
Hello, sunshine.
Welcome. This is kidnapping. I will crucify you.
You want to talk crucifixion? Happy Easter, Morty.
Brenda throws Morty's tax files in front of him.
Big deal. Letters from Brenda's father about stocking your stores with stolen merchandise. So what do they call it in the tabloids?
Hot stuff.
Yes. Criminal activity? You should be ashamed.
Wake up and smell the audit. Aaron, I just had a little talk with Eric and Mark, and it seems the business is very dysfunctional. Sort of like our marriage. So, I bought them out.
At his ad company, Aaron smiles, confused.
What?
Yeah, I think we probably ought to go. What do you think?
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Annie,
goodbye, Aaron.
Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Annie shakes Annie? Their hands.
Oh, Mark.
Love you.
I do love that suit.
you couldn't possibly pull off something like this. Where would you come up with this kind of money?
As per our agreement, I sold our assets to a friend of mine. Here's your half.
50 cents?
Considering our history together, I thought a dollar was terribly fair. Oh, all right. Take it all.
So what do you want, money?
Every cent.
You're out of your mind.
Well, you can hand it over and live happily ever after. You can give it to the government and get 10 to 20. Maybe Eduardo can do your cell. I see bars.
You can't do this to me.
Oh, but I have done it.
You wouldn't. You couldn't.
Well, it seems I could, and I did. Oh, and you know what, Aaron? I forgot how much fun work can be.
Look, if you try to take my agency from me, I'll walk. I'll take all my clients with me.
Be my guest.
Not kidding, Annie! I will take every single account. This place, without me, be worthless.
Oh, I don't think so, babe. Really? Not after the new $45 million account I just landed.
New account? What account?
Morty's Electronics will be under my control. Advertising, marketing strategies, everything. You will stay on as president because, after all, you are Morty. You will receive a salary which will keep you in the lifestyle to which I think you should become accustomed. Morty, I don't see what else you can do. It's this or jail.
So I dumped you for another woman. Get over it. Lift something, whack something, have something peeled.
You're right. I hate to admit it, but I'm jealous. Miss Lavelle is absolutely gorgeous. She's a bright new star.
Interested, Elise? Want to drink her blood?
Elise stands.
How old is she, Bill? 25, 26?
21.
Yeah, in about 5 years. She's 16.
She opens a yearbook.
What?
2 years ago, she dropped out of a little high school in Newkirk, Idaho. Should have done your homework, Bill. I did. Oh, a copy of her birth certificate.
Oh, God. I didn't know.
Oh, my God.
What are you gonna do?
Oh, what am I gonna do? Well, right now, I'm just going to use the F word. Felony. I think we should continue this discussion
In my office.
In your office? Is that all you can do? Think of yourself, yourself, yourself. If you go through with this, I'll have nothing. Look, everyone in town is looking for the new guy. How can I compete? Who the hell's gonna want me? I'm 46 years old. I'd have to start from scratch.
I know just how you feel. Oh, Aaron.
Annie hands him a business card and pulls him close.
Grow from love.
Aaron sees a logo, an address at the First Wives Club on the card. Meanwhile...
Oh, I don't hate you. I wish I could.
Brenda takes Morty's files.
You're still kind of cute for an overbearing, cradle-robbing, spandex-sucking criminal. So I'm not going to take all your money. Oh, don't misunderstand. I'm going to take plenty. And I'm going to hang on to these, because I've got a favor to ask.
She shoves a card in his mouth.
Be there in 2 hours.
Bill's office.
While we were married, I helped you. Now it's your turn to help others.
Where are you going?
To see Barbara Walters.
Oh, my God.
Scared.
You're not going to talk about this, are you?
Well, that depends on you. Be there at that address in 2 hours, babe.
Elise hands him the First Wives Club card.
You see, what Brenda meant by thinking globally was that it simply wasn't enough to make our former husband suffer.
Morty arrives at headquarters.
To do the truly charitable, unselfish
Bill thing, and Aaron are waiting.
We would have to make them suffer over and over again.
So what are you guys in for?
Gentlemen. And Daddy?
Chris gestures them toward the First Wives Club meeting room. The three men follow, hanging their heads.
Honey? Can you tell me what's going on? I don't think I can take any more surprises today.
She points him to the room.
Oh, Daddy. I'm a lesbian. A big one.
As he stares, she closes the door in his face. Chris smiles. The men sit, reluctant.
Gentlemen, we've gathered you here today for a very specific reason. This is not about retaliation. This is not about negotiation. And this is not about men versus women.
Yeah, well, what is it then? I'm getting sick of this, okay?
Please don't make her mad.
No, no, no. This is not a revenge thing. This is about justice. Halfway through this operation, we realized that the only people that would be helped by revenge would be us. And then we'd be no better than you.
Happier, but no better. Exhilarated, but no better. Ecstatic, but no better.
So we thought again.
A very dear friend of ours died from neglect.
And you're going to help us make very sure that that never happens again.
Like hell we are.
You can't make us do anything.
No, but Vito can, and Joey can,
and Uncle Carmine can.
The women in suits share a look, then look back to their exes.
What do we have to do?
You have to pay.
Now a wall is being demoed. The three peek through the hole in their construction helmets, excited. Morty writes the First Wives Club a check for $150,000. He tears it from the checkbook and grunts angrily. At the First Wives Club, construction proceeds on the building. A construction worker lights Elise's cigarette. Now on a theater stage, Elise rehearses with castmates. Annie, Brenda, and Elise study a blueprint back at headquarters. Chris and Annie's mom both assist women in the office at headquarters. When the girls are reading a blueprint upside down, a construction worker turns it right side up and they nod their agreement. Bill writes out a check for $250,000. He hands it to Elise. After Elise leaves his office, Bill puts his head in his hand and sobs at his desk. On Broadway, Elise's name is in lights. A sign for the show of a certain age starring Elise Elliott illuminates the city block. At the theater entrance, a sign and a red carpet announce it is opening night. Now on stage, flanked by her cast, Elise bows to a standing ovation. The curtain falls. The curtain rises again and Elise receives an encore standing ovation. Brenda and Annie clap from the front row. Elise gestures to them from the stage. Underaged Phoebe is in the audience cheering. At the ad company, Annie pitches a campaign to clients. Aaron sits off to the side with a newspaper, disengaged. He blows the ink on a freshly written check. Annie walks by, snatching it from him.
The funny thing was that by the time we had our husbands just where we wanted them, revenge somehow didn't seem so important. So we came up with something better.
A sign unveiled in the entry reads, the Cynthia Swan Griffin Crisis Center for Women.
It's a very exciting and important day here in New York City, and for women everywhere. We're here at the grand opening of the brand new Cynthia Swan Griffin Crisis Center for Women. It's an amazing facility, and I'm standing here talking to three amazing women. Well, you must be very proud. Please tell me about your facility.
This center is dedicated in loving memory to our very dear friend, Cynthia Swan. We plan on offering counseling, family therapy, and of course, abuse intervention for all.
There are so many women in need here in Manhattan.
Absolutely.
But I have to ask you, is it true? Somebody told me that the idea for this whole thing started because each of you had a husband that left you for a younger woman?
Oh, yes. Yes.
All right. It's true.
They really are amazing women. Well, good for you. Congratulations again for all the great work you've done. The City of New York thanks you.
Morty's red Lamborghini pulls up to the busy Women's Crisis Center lit up on opening night. Guests are everywhere and live music plays. He parks the car and looks to Shelley.
I'm asking you as a favor, come in for 1 minute with me.
Morty, you know, we have to talk about the wedding.
What are you talking about? You won't even set a date.
Exactly. Because this isn't working. I am not feeling special. I am not feeling loved. And now this place? Please, Morty, I am not Brenda.
No, you're not.
Duh.
Morty gets out of the car alone, joining the center's opening night guests. Inside, guests feast and mingle, enjoying a lavish buffet of food and elegant floral arrangements. Ed Koch tastes the buffet and nods in approval. Guests are dancing the night away. The building is packed to capacity. The three women are dressed in elegant white outfits.
Ivana, I want to thank you for coming so much. You're an angel.
Oh, of course, Alex. Thank you so much again. Ladies, we have to be strong and independent. And remember,
what?
Don't get mad. Get everything.
Bye-bye. Bye now.
Ivana Trump heads off with her date. Nearby, Brenda's uncle Carmine introduces himself to Gunilla.
Oh, yes, of course.
Nice to meet you.
Duardo speaks and gestures energetically to Gloria Steinem. Annie's mom finds Annie and Chris.
Oh, what a wonderful occasion, helping people through a buffet.
Mom,
it's
a great party.
You know what I think, Annie? Uh-huh. I think this place is terrific, and I think you did the right thing by getting rid of Aaron. I salute you. I have something to add, Annie. You're not getting any younger or thinner. You know what I think you need? Absolutely nothing.
Annie hugs her mom and daughter. Bill stumbles in like he's been drinking. Aaron stands awkwardly, looking lonely, then gulps champagne. Brenda is dragging her son Jason onto the dance floor.
Come on, Jason, just one time around the floor.
Come on, Mom, get real.
I'm your mother, I command you. You gotta have something to tell your shrink.
They start dancing.
Look at this, isn't this fantastic? I'm so proud.
Hey, kids.
Dad, save me. She's doing it again. She's trying to dance with me.
Hey, friend, leave him alone. He's a good kid.
I know that.
Not like his dad.
What?
I'm getting out of the line of fire.
Jason leaves his parents smiling awkwardly at one another.
You look good, friend.
You too.
Thank you.
Where's Shell?
It's in the car.
Glove compartment?
The trunk. Let me ask you a question. Was I this old when we were married?
Yes. But I liked you this old.
Me too.
Morty and Brenda begin to dance. Jason smiles at them.
Clear that night that Brenda and Morty were headed for a reconciliation.
Elise sips coffee.
Elise was dating an actor in her hit play. And as for me, Aaron and Dr. Rosen split up. He wants to come home again, and he feels emotionally ready to recommit to an equitable and caring relationship.
Annie smiles.
I told him to drop dead.
Meanwhile, Bill steps outside to smoke. Shelley's by the Lamborghini. Bill walks towards Shelley.
Excuse me, do you have a light?
Sure.
Nice car. I used to have one myself.
Thanks. So what's going on in there? Is it just a lot of battered women dancing around or what?
Yeah, sort of. Not really my scene.
Me neither.
So, you here with anybody?
Not really.
How old are you?
After the party, the three women sit around a table, satisfied.
It's just a total mess.
I know. But a gorgeous mess.
Yeah.
It's like a song.
No, I can't believe it. We actually did it. We actually accomplished something together.
I know, we did it. Oh, God, I wish Cynthia was here right now.
Mm. Well, she is. She is, in a way.
Okay, we're women of the 90s. What is it that we really, really need?
You know, Brenda, you are never going to change.
And yeah, I hope not.
Right.
I hope none of us ever change. I hope we always get to stay the same, tired and happy.
I know.
And maybe a little bit brave.
Brave?
You mean
brave.
Huh?
Like, what do you mean?
You don't own
me. You're not funny. No way. I'm out.
I'm not.
Stop it. No, I'm not going to.
You don't own me.
Elise and Brenda pull a reluctant Annie up to dance.
Go with other boys.
No.
Annie bites her lip, preparing to sing.
And don't tell me what to do. And don't.
Annie takes the lead, and Elise and Brenda jump in with the group's choreographed dancing.
Out with you. Don't put me on display.
Pretty good.
You remember.
They perform their college act, dancing in sync.
Don't try to change me in any way. You don't own me. Don't tie me down, cause I'll never stay.
I don't tell you what to say. I don't tell you what to do.
So just let me be mine.
Elise steps onto a chair and dances. The three friends all grab their white coats. All three, dressed head to toe in white, sashay in unison across the ballroom. Dancing out the door, Brenda, Annie, and Elise continue to sing and dance all the way onto the street in the night air. Credits roll on screen as the women continue dancing down the street.